Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we are injury attorneys. We bring the show to you, for you, so you can call us and ask us any question on any legal subject. The telephone number 303-713-8255, 713-8255, and in the mountains, 970-457-1009, Steamboat Springs and surrounding areas, wake up, here we go. And also welcome KRDO, KHOW, KKZN, and KEZZ 94.1, Steamboat Springs. We're here for you. You can give us a call, ask us any question on any legal subject. And Veterans Day. Thank you for all your veterans. We got Veterans Day here today, or coming up right around the corner. And we want to salute the veterans across the country. And so we're going to do a special show today, and hopefully we'll give you a little salute and a heads up, and thank you very much. So you can give us a call. And tomorrow morning at 7:30 in the morning on many stations, going to air our show that we cut yesterday. You know, do you really know what to do? Do you know how to prepare before a car accident, any kind of an accident? As you know, we're injury attorneys. We do it. That's our wheelhouse. And do you know what to do at the scene, in the emergency room, with the EMTs, after you leave the emergency room, after you're discharged, what to expect, what to say, what to do, what kind of forms to fill out, and how to proceed? Because, you know, let's face it, because most of us, all of us, never want to be in an accident. Most of us, when we have the accident, it's just as stunning. You want to be somewhere else. You want to go somewhere else. You're heading home. You're going to the game. You're doing whatever you're going to do. You don't want to be sitting there at a scene. You don't want to be sitting there at an intersection. And the police come, and then they've got a safety belt, seat belt issue. The EMTs come. They ask if you were hurt. You'll be surprised how many people, even though they're hurt, tell them, no, I'm good. And that goes down on the record. And so the tomorrow show tells you all the ins and outs and what to do. You know, Brad, I think people would be surprised. We covered a little bit yesterday about EMTs. People, even when they're hurt or they're hurting or they think it's going to go away in an hour or whatever, tell the EMTs, you know, no, I'm going to refuse medical treatment and I'm not really hurt. And that goes in the record, and that's what the insurance company uses to go after.
Yeah, they say they're going to be all right, or like you said, they say they're not hurt when they're actually feeling sore. The best thing you can do is if you're feeling sore, if you're feeling hurt, if you're feeling any pain at all or discomfort, you report it. And even if you don't want to take the ambulance ride to the emergency room, even if you don't want to have medical care there, tell the EMTs, you know, I don't know if I'm all right or not. I'm going to wait a day or two to find out what's happened to my body and what the effect is, because sometimes it takes a little while. When the adrenaline starts pumping from an accident, when you get all excited from an accident, when you've got all these things going on, and at times you just don't recognize that you may have an injury, or when your mind is focused on one part of your body, you may not recognize there's injury on the other part of the body. So you have to take your time. You have to be a little more cautious about what you're going to say.
And you don't want to make anything up. That's the point. You want to be truthful and complete. That's the point. You don't want to leave anything out. That's the issue.
And when you say you don't want to make anything up, that's both ways. That you don't want to make anything up one way as far as saying, hey, I'm hurt when I'm not.
Correct.
You don't want to make something up when you're saying you're not hurt when you really are. And that is exactly the issue because, you know, let's face it, when you're dealing with an injury from an accident, most of the time there's accusations, and there's going to be accusations that you're faking.
Right.
That you're not telling the truth, that you're trying to hide something, or that you weren't really hurt, or you already hurt, or whatever. And the insurance adjuster and the defense attorneys, they're going to scour, so will the defense medical examiners, they're going to examine each and every part of every record they can find that might lend support to their position that you're not hurt and that you're faking it.
And so if you're listening to our shows, we go into it in more detail. But one of the points is, you know, and we got a new newsletter coming out. If you want to be part of our newsletter, you can just call our firm or email us or call Kevin right here today. But our print newsletter is coming out, and it's one of the lead articles is how to mess up your accident claim, how to mess up your injury claim, and one of the best ways is not to tell the truth. You got to tell the truth. I mean, it eventually comes to back to haunt you when you don't. So even at the scene, our point is at the scene, tell the truth, be complete, be thorough, but be truthful to yourself. If you're really are hurting, don't tell them no. Tell them the truth. Tell them. The other thing is some people say, well, you know, my neck is really hurting, because usually you get a neck injury, C1, C2, C3, C4, and a low back injury, L4, L5, S1. You get those kind of injuries. And some people say, well, I told them about my neck because that was the thing, was that it was really killing me, but I also have an ankle problem and a left shoulder problem. And then the insurance company later says, well, you didn't mention that. That's not in the medical records. That's not in the EMT records. So you must be making that up when you're really not making anything up at all. And so there's a that's just at the scene. That's just with EMTs. And we're not saying you have to take an ambulance ride. Sometimes that's ridiculous. Many people get into an accident and they say, I think I'm okay. I'm not feeling very well. I'm sure I'm going to be okay. And people tell us time after time that the next morning they get up, they can't hardly get out of bed. They're very, very sore. They got this problem, that problem that they didn't recognize or see the day before. So you don't have to automatically go on an ambulance ride. You have to tell the truth. You have to be complete and thorough. Right now, talking live with us is Robert. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Just fine. How are you this morning?
Good. What's cooking?
Robert, what's going on?
Yeah, you mentioned a lot about drivers not having on accidents. What about the passengers? Where do they stand in their statements, and what are their options in an accident?
You know, it's interesting you should say that, because sometimes the passengers are overlooked. Really, every accident report has a place for passengers to be identified and determine whether or not they're hurt. And the passengers most certainly need to come forward and say if they're hurt or if they're having problems or if they need any kind of medical attention. They most certainly have to be involved in monitoring their own health and talking about their health at a later time. The passengers, really, you know, Robert, they get overlooked when you first get there, because police officers want to talk to the drivers on the scene.
That's why I pay attention here.
Yeah, and they will say to the drivers, they will say to the passengers, hey, are you all right, or are your passengers hurt? Or they may ask them, who are the passengers, are you hurt? But the passengers a lot of times get overlooked.
Will they take statements from the driver of the car and the passengers as well?
Sure, of course. I mean, the police normally talk to the driver and sometimes talk to the passenger, but they have a form, a statement. They hand you a form, you fill out a witness statement, a statement.
They hand it out to everybody. Yeah. They hand those documents out. They'll hand that out to bystanders, believe it or not, Robert. If somebody's been there on the side of the road or was on the curb, they'll hand it out to everybody and ask them to fill it out and give it back. Okay. Now, they'll collect those statements back, but if somebody doesn't give them one back, they don't worry about it. They just go on, you know, they expect the drivers to give them one. But if a passenger or a witness doesn't give them one back, nothing happens. The problem is that then those people get overlooked. They're not considered part of the accident.
The other problem is if you're a witness to an accident, you need to stick around to the police for the police and give your statement. Some people come into our office and say, well, the witnesses left, or they didn't stop, or there was somebody close to me or behind me. They just left. And last winter I witnessed an accident on the snow and ice, and somebody ran a red light, and then off goes the car through an intersection, through the median, through the shrubs, and I stayed there almost 2 hours just to give my statement. Finally, gave my statement, which the police appreciated, everybody appreciated. So I mean, your point about the passengers is well taken.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. We are injury attorneys, ready to help you. We're going to salute and do salute the veterans in this country. It's Veterans Day. We'll be right back. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. Our website is championsofthepeople.com, and it's time for the veterans. in this country. Thank you. A lot of people recognize him. Sporting events, TV, radio, groups, warriors. Time for the veterans. So thank you for that. Now, you can give us a call at 303-713-8255. In the mountains, 970-457-1009. We're injury attorneys here to help you on any legal question, on any legal subject. And speaking of which, let's talk about snow tires today.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising we're going to talk about snow tires, but I want everybody to listen for the I-70 corridor especially. CDOT has stated they're going to start enforcing the Colorado Traction Law, and this is a law that's very serious. I want everybody to understand the police has said, at least the State Patrol has said, they're not going to actually pull cars over to check. But if you've been in an accident, you've been in a fender bender, if you've slid off the road, if you've gone off to the side in I-70, they're going to check your tires to make sure they meet the minimum requirements for driving during that time period. So if there's a code 15, which is a code that's issued by CDOT, it tells people they have to have certain tires on their car. And if they don't, these fines can be as high as $600.
Yeah. And, you know, the traction law requires motorists, drivers to have either snow tires, you know, tires with mud, snow, or a four-wheel drive vehicle, period. And so, I think they're getting tougher on the truckers because, well, I know they are, but I now see them just lined up. They didn't ever used to do that before, and there's chain-up stations, et cetera. But the traction law for motorists, your car, you, the driver, is going to be strictly enforced.
So you're talking about when it hits, okay, when the snow's there, when the code 15, you have to have snow tires with a minimum of 1/8 inch tread, or you have to have all weather tires with the mud and snow mark on it, with a minimum of 1/8 inch tread, or you need a four wheel drive with 1/8 inch tread. All these need 1/8 inch tread, folks. Or you need traction devices such as chains, the auto sock, or those type things. So, you know, you got to make sure that you've got this covered. You know, we talk about how to test it and how to make sure you've got it, and that's another thing you've got to be concerned about. But you know, it's the old thing of go get a quarter out and stick it in the tread. And if George Washington's head, you know, put a head, George Washington head in first, and if the top of the head is covered, then you're good to go. But if it's not covered, you don't have a 1/8 inch tread, and you're going to be ticketed if you end out having an accident, get stuck alongside the road, if you go off into the ditch, and it may not be an accident caused by you. It may be an accident caused by somebody else. But you're going to have this ticket, so you know you've got to make sure you're paying attention, because otherwise you're going to have a huge fine that you're not going to like.
Well, it goes beyond that, because you want to be safe for you, yourself, and your family, and so that's a big issue in the winter. It's a big issue all year round, but especially in the winter. And you've heard so many people talk about it, including state troopers. I've heard them talk about it. I've been to meetings. I've heard them talk on the television before. I've heard them talk in person before. Not only do you have to have the proper equipment like that, like we're talking about the traction law and the snow tires and the tread, but you also have to change and adjust your driving to meet weather conditions, period. You see so many people that don't. They just keep on going. And I'm not talking about a black eye situation where you may or may not be able to anticipate that, but you can anticipate the weather. And you can also anticipate when the snow's there, when it's freezing. People just drive either the speed limit or faster, thinking it's just like dry road. We all know that. It's common sense. But how many of us do it? Because the next thing is going to become a disaster. And that also applies to trucks as well. You know, there was a famous trucker that sometime back that used to say on these mountain passes, and the quote was, "I ain't going to use no jewelry," meaning, "I'm going to use no jewelry," meaning, "I'm not going to put chains on. I don't need them. Heck with them." And we all know the state troopers watch that. So, but now we got passenger cars. Now we got the issues with snow tires and treads, and they're going to enforce the traction law. So,
well, as you're sitting out there, you know, remember when you get to code 16, which is the worst. That's just before they're going to shut down the roads. How many of you know how to put your chains on? How many of you even know if you have chains that are the right size for the tires you've got? Because you've got to have chains that are the right size for the tires. And they got this auto sock now that's out there. How many of you know how to put an auto sock on? How many of you know how you would do that? And could you do it efficiently and correctly? And could you do it on the side of the road when you've pulled up over to the side of the road because all of a sudden you've hit bad weather? You leave sunny Denver and it's nice out here and you're headed up. And as you get up closer to the passes, you start realizing you've got some bad weather. And now all of a sudden you've got to do something.
Right. So the traction law, one more time, requires drivers, motorists either have snow tires, or tires with mud and snow designation, or a four-wheel drive vehicle. And, yeah, you know, SUVs usually fit that criteria, but you've got to have one of these. And the way this can come back to haunt you is not only for the safety of yourself, but the safety of your family and all that. But if there's an accident and you weren't at fault in the accident, okay, and so the troopers come, the police are there, they're investigating. They say that you didn't have the proper tread. They say you didn't have the proper tires. And so guess what? The insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who caused the accident, is going to say and do. What they're going to say and do is, well, yeah, our insured, the person who caused the accident, was a little bit at fault, but you could have avoided this because we've got these engineers and we've got these biomechanical engineers and we've got these doctors, and they're going to be able to say and testify that you caused most of this, because if you'd had the proper snow tires, if you had the tires in accordance with the traction law, there would have been no accident, or it would have been less damage. There would have been less injury.
Oh, I can hear certain of the defense engineers, defense accident reconstructionists, I can hear that testimony from them right now.
Right now.
Without a problem. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to ask if you got a ticket, and if you did and you got a traction one, they're going to say that's what caused the accident, or that's what caused your injuries, and without that you wouldn't have had it. And then what happens in a court of law is they compare the negligence of you for having your car not properly equipped and not following the standards of the law. They compare that in percentage wise to the negligence of the defendant, of the person who ran into you. And at that point, they start determining how much percentage you should have taken off of your injuries and your damages and your losses because you caused your own injuries.
So if you're in an accident, and that's comparative negligence, and you find a lot of that concept in our two books that we have, they're free, you can get them. One's called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. That's covered in there, comparative negligence. You say the other driver was fault. The insurance company for that at-fault driver who hit you and caused this and took you out of your game plan says you were at fault or you were partially at fault. And they say you were 40% at fault or 50% at fault or 60% at fault. And therefore, you get into this comparison situation. It's also covered in our other book, it's called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And there's a whole section on insurance. There's a whole section on how the comparative negligence law works with regard to Colorado and with regard to hit and runs. But it's covered in the book. You can have that as free as well if you want, or you can have a hard copy. Just call our law firm or call Kevin right here today, 303-713-8255, and we'll send you a hard copy of the book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. It's a must read. So is our book, Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim.
Now, if you want to go the other way, you want to have yourself, if you've been in an accident and you've been through the corridor, if it is icy or it's snowy and you've got some bad roads, even if you're not up in that I-70 corridor, it doesn't hurt if you've been hurt or to ask that the police officers look at the tires of the car that ran into you. See if those tires have compliance with this weather law, because it's going to help to determine whether or not or why the person lost control of their vehicle. I mean, we talk about the I-70 corridor, and we know why CDOT wants to enforce that law. They want to enforce this weather law and the traction law on the I-70 corridor, especially driving in the mountains, because they want to keep that corridor open. They're tired of the backups that are going on. But you can be out here on I-25. You can be out here on I-225. You can be out here on C-470. And if you've been, or you can just be on the regular roads, any of the roads, and you get run into and there's an accident, you might want to be knowing what's going on with the traction and the tires that the person that ran into you has.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a couple of things we preach time and time again, and that, you know, that is to get your UIM before an accident happens, how to protect yourself before that, and also now with regard to the equipment. And we might cover a little bit about UM and UIM when we come back. We're going to salute the veterans. We are saluting the veterans today. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us at 303-713-8255. We're here for you. We'll be right back. To the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us 303-713-8255. We're going to answer your questions on any legal subject. I don't care if it's landlord-tenant. I mean, we're injury attorneys in our day lives, but we're here to help you and answer your questions on this show. Landlord-tenant, property disputes, estate questions, will questions. You can fire them right at us, and if we don't know the answer, we'll get you the answer or get you to a referral to a knowledgeable attorney and get you the answer. So 303-713-8255. We're celebrating Veterans Day today on this show. This is our chance to do that. We're glad to do that. And join us now live is Eric from Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Well, what's going on?
Oh, we got all kinds of things going on. We're going to go with Customer Appreciation Day. We're taking suggestions for our specials. So our breakfast special for this week and next week is going to be the breakfast quesadilla. That comes with two scrambled eggs on a 6-inch flour tortilla. You get your choice of ham bacon and a sausage with that, shredded cheese, lettuce, tomato, guacamole, sour cream on the side. We're going to run that all week and next week as well. And then the popular vote for the lunch one was the chili bowl. It's our scratch-made pinto bean recipe. We make it right here in-house. You get your choice of our scratch-made red or green chili as well. We're going to top that with shredded cheese, sour cream, and you can get lettuce, tomato, guac on the sour on the side of that as well. That's going to be the lunch special for 2 weeks. And don't forget, Mondays and Fridays, 11 to 2. Monday and Friday from 11 to 2. It's all you can eat. Taco and burrito buffet. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. You can't beat that anywhere in town. Come on down and check us out. And we're still running bottomless mimosas. I know the warm temperatures are trying to hang on for a little bit longer. I don't know how much longer I'll have the patio for everybody, but we're going to do bottomless mimosas. No matter what, it's $10, all you can do. Come on down and check us out. We've got all kinds of things you can do.
Okay, Eric, where are you located, buddy?
4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
All right, man, thank you.
Sounds great.
All right, you can call us at 303-713-8255. We were talking about car accident preparation. What do you mean? And, you know, we've gone to the time and trouble to put on our website. There's a button there. You can click on the button, and it takes you right to the instructions on car accident preparation. What do you need to do? It's pretty simple. But you need to navigate this before the accident happens. You need to do it. You need to really pay attention. You know, and one of the things is we were talking about equipment today. Snow tires, it's winter, and the traction law in Colorado. And maybe we knew about it. Maybe you didn't know about it. Now you do. That's important. The other thing is insurance, UM and UIM. And we got a little bit to tell you about that. But when you buy insurance, I mean, there's some tricks. There's some myths about that, and we're going to try to get that worked into the show as well. Join us live right now on the Bell and Pollock Legal Show with Steve. Good morning, Steve. What can we do for you?
Hey, good morning. We had a house out in Elbert County burnt to the ground last December.
Wow.
Turns out that there had been a major claim in it before we bought it. It had been in foreclosure, so it was handled by the mortgage company. And nobody pulled any permits for that work. There were some issues. It was an electrical fire, and there was apparently a drain, some kind of a ground going straight to the, you know, straight to the ground in the electrical system that no one could ever find.
Right.
And right before the fire, the electrical usage spiked. We hadn't gotten the bill yet, but you know, the final bill after it burned down was like $800.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So there was some kind of a surge going through there. And then it turns out that there was no insulation in the house.
And so no permit pulled at all?
No permits pulled at all. The entire thing had to be gutted and rebuilt. And we know that they knew about it because one of the neighbors told them about it.
Told who about it, yeah.
The agent.
The real estate agent?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying that... You're saying the remodel and the additional work on the house didn't have permits. The house had original permits when it was built.
Right. They were original permits, but when they had to gut it and completely rebuild it, there were no permits.
So the deficiencies and the no permit that we're talking about, is that traceable? Is the fire traceable to the electrical that should have had a permit?
Yes. That was the conclusion of the fire report.
Well, when you buy a house, they're supposed to give you all sorts of disclosures.
Yeah.
They said that since it was a foreclosure, they didn't know anything about it.
But wait a minute.
Who is they? The real estate people, or the seller, or the bank,
Freddie Mac.
Freddie Mac didn't know anything about it.
That's what they said. But yet, their agent had been informed about the flood.
Well, the agent most certainly did know. That's
of course they did.
That's a fraud on the disclosures.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Right, and the thing, especially like the mold disclosure, they say they didn't know anything about the mold in it, but the guy that found it said that there was mold everywhere.
Wow.
It had been flooded for a period of time.
Right.
Because the entire thing was full of mold. He said that there was grass growing in the carpets.
Yeah, Steve, most of the time when you do these foreclosures, these houses aren't winterized, so they'll get the freezing, then the pipes thaw, and then you get water all through the place, and the mold does grow because they don't do anything about it.
Right. Now, when we looked at it, it had all been winterized and rebuilt, so we didn't, nobody thought to look behind the walls.
Sure, when they prep it for sale, they make all these changes, but like you said, this is something that if the agents know, this has got to get disclosed. They can't just ignore it.
Right. Did you ever get any insurance proceeds? Were you made whole on the house or what?
Well, we're not whole on the house. We're getting paid the limits of the insurance.
Right.
Did you buy the house?
A whole lot more than that, too. So.
Did you buy the house as rental or to live in?
No, we bought it to live in.
It was your residence. So you got moved out. When the fire occurred, did it burn before or after you had moved your stuff in? Did you lose all your personal possessions?
Oh, we lost everything.
You lost everything.
And when did this happen, the fire?
A year ago.
It happened last December 15th.
I think you need to look into it more as far as responsibility. I don't know if insurance has made you whole, but even if it has, you've gone through quite an inconvenience of having to live somewhere else. And I don't know if insurance paid for all that while you were out and the additional expenses you had.
In Law Talk, you've got a prima facie, meaning case, on its face against several people. And I think you need to move because I'm worried about a potential statute of limitations issue coming up, because the longer you wait, the worse it gets. But in Law Talk, you've got a prima facie case. You're in the ballpark. Whether you ever do anything about it or not is up to you, but you're there. You're right there.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we need to rebuild and obviously replace everything we lost. And, the limits of liability of the policy are nowhere near that.
Well, okay, you got that problem. Plus, you've been out for over a year, and most insurance policies only give you about 24 months, if I remember. I don't know how many more months.
Yeah, there's a dollar limitation.
Yours is a dollar limitation, so you could be pushing up against that to get this thing rebuilt, because you got to get it rebuilt, and you're coming into the winter months now, so you've got some problems as far as getting things done.
Right, we've had to buy a fifth wheel to move back out there.
My goodness gracious.
The work will get done.
I'm sorry, man. You're looking right at a claim or claims. There's no question about it. There's no question about it, and it just depends on what you want to do or not do and have it analyzed. And if you want us to, we can get you to the right
people to
look at this.
I would love that, because we've got to do something about this.
All right, let's get your number, and we'll call you this week and get you hooked up either in our firm or with someone else to take care of it. We're going to sit down with you and get you taken care of. I'm really sorry you've gone through this.
Sorry. So I'm going to put you on hold, Steve, and give Kevin your information, if you would.
How many people in your family?
Well, just two. I mean, the kids are all gone and everything.
Okay.
There's two of us now.
So it's you and your wife. It must That's never fun to have to make your home a fifth wheel after the kids moved out and it's the two of them.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a step down, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do to help you. Okay? We'll get a hold of you.
You seem like you got a good attitude about it, and I'm very sorry. We'll see if we can help you, and I'll put you on hold, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 303-713-8255, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are injury attorneys in our day lives and our radio lives. We're here to help you, and right now we're going to try to help Sally. Hello, Sally.
Yes, good morning. After that last issue, mine is so trivial.
No, nothing's trivial.
There's no trivial issues.
Let's help Sally today. What's going on?
Thank you. Son and fiance are living in an apartment. The apartment has sold. Their period of time is through the end of the month. The new place to where they're moving will not be completed until they cannot move into it until at least the end of the month. And the closing for the apartment in which they're staying now is like on the 19th. So the deposit, who is responsible for that? Not the deposit, the security deposit.
Okay, so are they going to be able to stay there till the end of the month?
Correct.
Okay, so the security deposit under the Colorado law, it depends on what the lease says, but the statute says that the security deposit has to be accounted for within, if they're going to make some kind of deduction, within 30 days after the lease is over with.
Unless the lease calls for
Yeah, if the lease calls for an additional 30 days, up to 60 days, then they have 60 days to account for and remit payment of the security deposit. Sometimes it gives people financial heartburn because they need the money. But that's what the statute says, 30 days if the lease is silent. If the lease is not silent, it can say 60 days for the landlord to give an accounting to the tenants and to return the security deposit.
Sally, but let me ask you: you said the kids, when they're moving out, have they talked to the landlord and discussed with the landlord they want to stay that extra about 11 days or 12 days?
Yes, and in fact, that is the case. And boy, do I need a cup of coffee. You guys, this is still early for me. I'm sorry.
No problem.
No, the issue is that they will be staying in the apartment at least till the end of this month, of November. But the current tenant, because he's closing on the 19th, he says he's going to turn the security deposit issue over to the new owners, who are investors. So, you know, at the moment, and the apartment is in pristine condition, but you always hear these horror stories where they don't return the deposit.
Well, can you hang on with us? We got a break coming up, and we got the answer to your question.
Get your coffee, and we'll all get together here right after the break.
So don't go anywhere, Sally. We'll be right back with you. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we salute the veterans. Here we go. We'll be right back. To the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. 303-713-8255. Right before the break, we were talking with Sally. She's got a rental question. And, Sally, we got a couple of questions for you before we answer your question.
Yeah.
So they're selling the complex, I guess. It's going to close on the 19th. We're going to have new owners. But your, I think, son?
Yes.
Okay, staying until the end of the month, and the questions on the security deposit. So generally speaking, and Brad's going to give you a couple of cautionary warnings here in a second, but generally speaking, when they sell it, the buyer has to take the leases as they exist. In other words, if there was a lease on the property, I'm making this up, for 10 years, they have to live with it. If there's a lease for 2 years, they have to live with it. If there's a lease up until the end of November, they have to deal with it and live with it. They can't change the terms. But sometimes when it spilled over and it was month to month instead of a term lease, you got to be careful.
Right.
And so, that is what this is.
That's what this is.
It is a month to month.
Okay.
And his month to month would end at the end of November.
Correct.
Okay, so he's got the month-to-month. It sounds like he's okay with that. If he was on a written lease, he might want to confirm that. But now, at the time of the closing, the deposits get transferred from the current owner of the complex to the new owners.
Okay? Oh.
And so those deposits should be being transferred over to the new owners, and they, therefore, will be holding your son's deposit.
Oh, really?
But they can't just invent new rules and regs. They have to live with the statute. So whatever the lease says, about accounting and refunding the security deposit they have to live with.
Yeah, now if he's there on a month-to-month, did he move in under a lease and then just stay and they didn't renew the lease?
Exactly.
All right, so he's and for how long has he been there on the month-to-month since the lease expired?
Gosh, I want to say maybe 8 months, nine months.
Okay, well, that works in his favor.
Right.
Because if the original owner said, look, you know, just stay there on a month-to-month, don't worry about a renewed lease, what that did is that probably removed from him the situation of being a holdover tenant. And under holdover tenant laws, usually the lease says they can charge 1.5 times the rent and all these other things. But your son clearly has established the way he's been living there that he's on a regular month to month.
Correct.
So what's left now is that on the 19th, the deposit's going to be transferred over to the new owners. He's going to your son's going to leave at the end of November. He may want to, and I think he was smart, he'll be getting a notice of an estoppel certificate. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten one already.
I'm sorry, estoppel?
An estoppel certificate. It's a certificate that the new owners will send saying to the tenants, we're anticipating buying this place or we're in the process of buying it, and we want you to confirm that this is the status under which you're living here. This is the amount of your deposit. This is what the length of your lease. This is the terms of your lease. This is what your rent is, and they say this is what we understand. Please sign down below saying this is what it is.
And it's just a piece of paper, but it's very important. It's called an estoppel certificate, fancy legal word, but it's a piece of paper for the new owner to have the tenant confirm that these are the terms that you're sitting in this apartment or condo or whatever for or with. Okay. That's very important because it's going to bind your son, right? So, number one, if he gets this document, you need to call us or he calls us and we'll walk him through the document, period. Number two, if he gets nothing, then he leaves at the end of November. He needs to document, because he's got new owners, he needs to document the condition of the premises, take pictures, and be able to compare it to the original condition, because a lot, not every one of them, but a lot of these new owners or landlords look for reasons, some invented, some not, as to why and how we're going to grab and capture the security.
That's our concern.
Has he confirmed with the present landlord that he's leaving?
Yes.
Okay, and did he tell the present landlord he might be there a few days in December?
Yes.
Okay, did he do it in writing?
No.
All right, letter. Letter to the present landlord. This right. confirms that we're moving to a new place. The new place may not be available until the first few days of December. You've agreed that we can leave when the new place is available, and we can stay here until it is, even if that goes into the first couple of days in December, and that will not result in an entire December rent.
Correct.
Instead, we're going to prorate the December rent.
Okay.
The other thing, Sally, is on the security deposit, you said that's what you're concerned about. So usually when you move into a larger situation or even a smaller one, apartment complex, whatever, they have you sign off on what was the damage to the premises at the time. So if that existed, he needs to get, or maybe already has, he needs to get a copy of that and be able to compare it to the condition right now and take pictures, because I can almost feel it coming. I can almost see the letter from the landlord saying the premises were damaged above ordinary wear and tear, and we're going to withhold X dollars out of your security deposit, or we're just going to withhold the whole thing.
That would be the current tenant or the new purchaser?
That'd be the new purchaser.
Right.
And Sally, it's so important that he makes sure he has in writing, especially if this estoppel certificate comes, but even if it doesn't, he must make sure that he's confirmed in writing with the present landlord. That's the only person he can deal with right now.
Right, correct.
That he can stay for the first few days in December, for a time period in December, under prorated.
Prorated rent, just for the amount of time that he's there.
Because the new organization, if he stays past that November 30th, they're going to be looking and they're going to be saying, you bought the whole month of December. And he's going to end out having his rent or a security deposit used for the whole month. And that's where he wants to be.
The other thing, Sally, is everybody remains silent. If he doesn't do this in writing, it's not confirmed, it's not agreed to, then he's going to be responsible for the whole month of December.
And could I trouble you, gentlemen, to spell that Latin word for me, estoppel?
E-S-T-O-P-P-E-L.
Oh, I had it. Okay.
Good job. Way to go.
Gary loves us. Hey, you know, you can, Sally, if you, we can have you take our, we can take your number and call you or get your son's number or have your son call us. We're happy to work with him.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That is brilliant. I would love that.
All right. So we can at least get the letter to the present landlord to make sure he's confirmed in writing what his deal is. And the new landlord takes subject to that deal then.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why he wants to do it with the current landlord who's working with him, and to make sure the new landlord understands it and is going to be accepted, find it acceptable.
So we'll help you. We'll help him, Sally. I'll just put you on hold, give Kevin your information, and we'll be glad to call you and walk you through this.
That is lovely. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you.
I wake up early just for you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate
you
your call.
Much.
Okay, I'm put you on hold.
Evermost.
All right, Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. Look, if you want to know about car accident protection, what do you do before an accident? Just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. There's a button there. You can hit it. It's called car accident preparation. So car accident preparation, you can do that. Go to our website. It's an information little website. Also, there's a button on our website as what do you do? What do you need to know when your first contact with the insurance adjuster? Do you know? Do you want to know? I mean, before you make the call to the adjuster, don't you think you want to know? It's right there. It's free. Just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, click on the button, first contact with the adjuster, and we'll tell you. All right, if you want a copy of our new book, we have two books out. One, Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. You can get an ebook on our website, download it for free, or you can get a hard copy by telling us. Our other book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run, free ebook, download on our website, championsofthepeople.com, or you can call here or call our law firm and we'll send you a free copy because we are your champions of the people.